Hey guys, welcome to fucking Deep Fat Fried.
How y'all doing?
Oh man,
We're still recovering from our pre-post show.
Yeah. Wow, we really blew the wad on that. I don't know what we're gonna do for this show.
No, no,
dude.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, I feel like that Guns N' Roses song, dude. Where do we go now? Where do we go from here, man?
Oh, God.
I don't even know. I mean, like, that's our best material, man.
Yeah, it's the greatest thing we've ever done.
I don't know.
How do you come down from that?
Okay.
Fuck, dude.
Can you think of anything else to talk about?
No, man. Let's just get into it. There's no point. There's no banner.
Banter is canceled.
It's canceled because there's just nothing else on our minds. We got to give ourselves something else to fucking possibly.
Yep.
Okay. So, the show's been around for 2 years.
Coming up on 2 years, yeah. Somebody said that this Thursday, which doesn't mean anything to anybody because they might be seeing this a couple weeks later.
Yeah, but we don't know when people are seeing this.
But for us, this upcoming Thursday is the
official two-year
anniversary of
which is the
Deep Fat Fried.
So the 9th.
Yes.
January 9th.
Yeah, so, but, you know, throughout the course of our show, there have been a number of episodes that came very, 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 very close to happening. Sometimes they even got to the research phase. Sometimes the research was even completed for the episodes.
True.
But they just didn't, you know, actually end up manifesting. So we thought we'd kind of talk about some episodes that never were, you know?
Yep.
And why they never happened. Sometimes it's easy to know why they never happened. Sometimes it's a little difficult to know why they never happened. And I don't know, some of these episodes, I feel looking at this list like some of this stuff might happen at some point in the future, but, you know, probably most of it won't. So one of the first things that, the first one I have here on this list is Bill Hicks versus George Carlin.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of these versus episodes.
And a lot of these are ones that were requested to do a lot.
Right. Now, this one I think is kind of one that was tossed around real early on.
Yeah.
Like,
and it pops up every once in a while. Like, I still see people trying to get us to do this one.
I think we might have talked about it on a few occasions the possibility of doing it.
As I remember, you guys were
something in the zeitgeist or something.
You guys were kind of contentious about doing this episode, though.
We ended up doing a George Carlin episode.
Yeah, we did that.
We never did a Bill Hicks episode, which maybe that'll happen at some point.
Yeah, I think I'd rather do a Bill Hicks solo episode than this versus contrivance thing.
Yeah, and I love the versus episodes, but usually when we do those, it's usually two bad things. Or two things that are, you know, kind of like have a tarnished legacy at least. Like, we did, you know, Carrot Top versus whoever the fuck we put Carrot Top up against. It was Kathy Griffin. We did Carrot Top versus Kathy Griffin. We did Pauly Shore versus, who we put Pauly Shore up against? You guys remember?
Who the fuck was it? Was it Andy Dick? No.
It was Andy Dick. Was it Andy Dick?
I think it was Andy Dick.
Yeah, yeah, it was Andy Dick. Yep.
I want to do one with Sinbad, but I haven't figured out who to put him up against yet.
Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
Sinbad versus Bill Hicks.
I was thinking Andrew Dice Clay, honestly.
Oh.
Because, you know.
I think Dice still wins that one pretty handily, though.
That's kind of
the
problem
with these versus episodes.
It's
sometimes.
Like, you know, I like them to be. I like it because, like, when we went to Kathy Griffin and Carrot Top, I'm like, both of these people are awful.
Yeah, who knows?
So who knows who's going to really
toss
win
up,
this?
Yeah.
Or Rob Schneider versus. Who do we put Rob Schneider against? Do you guys remember that?
It was Rob Schneider versus,
or maybe that's who we
Chris
put
Kattan.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
So we've done a few of these, and obviously, you know, it's kind of hard to remember which ones we put up against which, but we've never done, at least I can't remember us doing like two good comics against each other.
I mean, I think it could be done if you had comics that had these really different, like, philosophies and styles, like if, you know, one of these guys was a totally clean comic and, you know what I mean,
yeah,
but still really good, and then Bill Hicks or whatever, but these guys philosophically were not far apart.
No, they were pretty much in the same kind of wheelhouse.
I mean, they had their differences in presentation and stuff, but when it came down to it, the message behind the comedy seems to be pretty similar between these two.
Both highly kind of cynical, really fucking acerbic, willing to deconstruct society and shit. The main, the principal difference between the two of them, and Paul, you and I have kind of discussed this too, is that George Carlin was very much an
over-prepared,
right.
Every syllable of every one of his acts was meticulously placed and rehearsed.
Yeah, and it was like he wrote, I mean, he considered himself a writer who performed his own material.
Right.
Which Bill Hicks was not that. He was much more of a performer.
Now, Bill Hicks very meticulously designed his comedy act, too, but he was also way more prone to tangential content.
Yeah.
He was open to allowing these bits to grow in the moment, you know, to, like, if he came up with a funny idea while he was doing one of the rehearsed bits, he would do it.
Yeah.
If some audience member was being a jackass, he wouldn't just, you know, because... They had very different ways of dealing with that too. Carlin was known for just telling somebody to blow him or whatever. You
yeah,
know?
Just like he just
why don't
shut
you come
it down.
Up here and put my fucking cock in your mouth and shut the fuck up. You know,
yeah. George Carlin's the kind of like approach to a heckler was just
brutal.
Shut them up as quickly as possible so that I can continue on with my act.
And it really kind of is reflective, I think, of how he did his comedy. He wanted to get back to it, whereas Bill was way more...
Yeah, he'd be more likely to, like, weave that heckler in somehow.
Right, he was way more willing to allow that heckler to affect the show for longer and to maybe even give birth to a new bit. So, definitely different in that way, but... you know, for me, one of the problems of versusing these two guys is that I have a pretty much equal amount of reverence for both of them. I have my favorite being Bill.
And my favorite being George.
Right, but that's really all it comes down to. It's just I slightly prefer Bill Hicks to George Carlin. TJ probably slightly prefers George Carlin to Bill Hicks.
Yeah, but I mean, like, my respect for both these guys is
it's through
gigantic.
The roof.
I mean, like, you can't... I mean, like... In terms of like stand-up comics, I don't think I have reverence for anybody more than I have for these two.
It goes beyond; these two guys go beyond stand-up comedy for me. These are philosophers.
These guys are artists. These guys are the real like speak truth to power kind of fucking comics.
These two guys. It would be hard for me to pick anybody in entertainment or philosophy or politics or anything that has had more of an effect on my worldview than these two men. I just can't think of them. Like, I literally am in that position of looking to these guys as foundational to the way that I feel about the world. There's nobody else in the world that even competes. So how do you versus those? And why would I want to? It almost seems to kind of, like, cheapen both of these guys to try and decide which one was better.
Which one better? Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat with it. It was an idea that I kind of championed here and there early on, but like the more that time has progressed, the more I'm like, you know, it really doesn't feel right to try to pit them against each other and put them in some sort of ridiculous competition.
You know what I feel, TJ? I feel like if you and Paul do this episode against each other, the end of your guys' relationship, man. You guys know it just deep down.
I don't think it would be. I don't think I'd be satisfied with whatever came out.
I think what happened, Paul, is I think you guys literally just end up fighting to the death, man. You guys would just hit a stalemate. You'd lose both of your minds.
Because here's the thing. There's not anything that TJ is going to say, not in jest, about George Carlin that I'm going to disagree with. Like, whether it's how he attacked this, whether it's how he went with this, there's going to be nothing but agreement in a versus episode. You know what I mean? How do you do that? You know, like TJ, what do you like about George Carlin? Distill it down.
I mean, he was a guy who was willing to really unflinchingly, and I could say this about Bill Hicks too, both of these guys, right. Willing to just unflinchingly look at the world and describe the truth of the world as they saw it.
Willing to say the things that nobody else said.
Tell people, I mean, like, really, isn't that, like, I mean, like, it's a kind of a cliche about the comic of, like, oh, he's saying what we're all thinking. Now, maybe they're not saying what everyone's thinking, but they're saying what everyone really needs to know.
It goes beyond that. They're pointing out universal truths that we all choose to ignore in our day-to-day lives. They were able to hone in on those little pieces of hypocrisy in being a modern human being and just being a human being in general. And describe it to us, and it was like hearing an old friend being described.
Yeah, and
you
I mean, like,
I mean?
They really fucking shined a spotlight on the ridiculousness of the little world that we all live in our heads, and the larger world that we all occupy, and the even like the grand scheme of things. Now, I might not agree with every single thing that both these guys said. They both had some thoughts and opinions that I'm not necessarily like, yeah, they're right again. But, you know, I mean, like, everything they said was always, like, you knew it was, like, a fundamental core conviction coming from, like, the essence of their fucking being, yeah. Not just some... They're not saying something just to shock you. They're not saying something just to get a fucking reaction. They're fucking putting themselves out there. They're really dredging the depths of their fucking, you know, psyches.
Agreeing
to pull this shit out and show it to you and be like, stuff it, really just stuff it down your fucking throat.
Agreeing with people is way down my list of things that I'm looking to do.
Right, exactly.
I got to be honest with you. I can agree all day long and never remember I agree. Agreeing is boring. What I like about these guys is that whether I agreed or not, they were meticulously perfect at providing rhetorical evidence for whatever position they were pushing. They had thought about this to the T, and whether or not I agree with their end conclusion on it matters absolutely almost zero to me. Now, I do find myself agreeing with both of these guys quite often.
Yeah, more often than not.
Probably more often than I have strong disagreements with positions that they would take. But the fact of the matter is, when I disagreed, it almost made it even more delightful. It made it even more interesting to me to hear an idea that I fundamentally disagreed with described so perfectly and so meticulously picked apart for the hypocritical nonsense that it is. So that's why for me, at least, versusing these two guys doesn't make a whole lot of fucking sense to me. It's because I feel like that they're both guys that occupied a very similar plane in terms of the worth of their words. They had very similar approaches, at least, to philosophy, if not, you know, the output was wildly different. And I can't think of bad things to say about either of them. A versus has got to come down to what's, you know, who's got the most negatives stacked up against them.
I think you're kind of just getting to, you know, this is Pessimist Productions, and, you know, in a sense... These are two guys that I don't think that the company included here is going to have much, like you said, in a way to like really. I'm obviously going to deconstruct what they're doing, and that's kind of what they did. I mean, they looked at American culture.
We're not called Pessimist Productions because it's a cool sounding name. Now it is that we like that too.
I do like that,
but yeah,
but we're a bunch of pessimists on this panel of varying degrees.
I mean, to some extent,
and these are two major pessimists here,
right? And
on
you know,
the screen.
And not only that, though. I mean, like to some extent, like these guys, you know, say what you want about how our show falls well short of anything they ever did, but
well, yeah.
I mean, to some extent, these motherfuckers, you know, gave us the blueprint for what we do. So. I mean, I can't, I don't know, it's like, you know, do you really stand in the shadow of a monolith and then fucking look up at it and be like, which of these two monoliths that I'm standing in the shadow of is better than the other? You know, it's like, I don't know. There's too much reverence there for me, and I don't think it should be done. So another episode that's been tossed around.
Fuck authority, fuck authority.
Is the Gigi Allen episode.
People, I'm a big fan of Gigi. Not, I guess, not necessarily a fan. I'm very interested.
He's an interesting character
in
for
Gigi's
sure.
life. He was definitely a guy that lived, at least for the most part, by the courage of his own convictions. He was one of these edgy anarchy type of guys, nothing means anything type of guys. Fuck authority, fuck the law, fuck your mom, fuck your grandma, fuck your polite manners. He was one of those types of people that really lived that life.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
to an extent that not many modern, kind of like a modern Diogenes almost.
Right.
You know, with
just
the edge
like,
that's needed for a Diogenes to get this type of fucking, you know, recognition these
total
days.
Contempt for everyone and everything around
including
him.
Himself.
Yeah.
He just he lived a life of utter and complete disdain and contempt for everything around him. The act of breathing, the act of being around other people, what he did for a living, his own music, himself, how he felt about himself, how he felt about his band. You could go down the line.
I mean, he'd just get naked on stage and take a shit.
If you're just listening, I mean, if you look at this picture of him, he's covered in blood, it looks like. He's wearing a dog collar. He has Life Sucks, Scum Fuck on his arm.
I mean, his shows were just known to be completely violent. He would routinely just run into the audience and attack people. And he wasn't one of those guys that, you know, looked for a trigger for that. Now, you could trigger that. But sometimes he just would pick out the weakest, softest looking person in his fucking audience and go beat the shit out of them in the middle of a show.
Yeah,
or start a fight he couldn't win, which he was really fond of doing too. He liked picking out what looked like a big bad motherfucker that could fight and going and throwing punches at him and getting his own ass kicked.
Right.
His tattoos, and you can see some of them here, reflect this very well. All of them look like they were drawn by like a third grader.
Yeah, life sucks, scum fuck. There's some, I can't even tell
he's
what that
some
is under
gorilla
there.
Skull or something. That once again, yeah, it looks like somebody just doodled it on him.
It looks like it's drawn in crayon almost.
His music is presented that way. I mean, he's that kind of like, I don't know what you call that brand of metal, but it's just like grind scum metal. It's just. He doesn't care. He was drunk when he recorded. He was high off his ass when he recorded. He was beaten up when he recorded. He would routinely just bail out on songs, and that would end up on the fucking album anyway because he didn't give a fuck about what he was producing. Or
he didn't
how
really
he was
care
perceived.
About anything. I mean, like, you know, he would eat his shit on stage. He'd throw his shit at the audience. He'd fucking have sex with his own brother on stage.
Dude.
He'd fucking... He told people that, like, you know, if you're a girl and you come to our shows and you get raped, it's on you because that's just what happens here.
Right.
Like, there was no boundary. There was no fucking soft, cuddly side to this guy. He was just fucking hard as a fucking, you know,
a rusty nail. A lot of people will say, like, I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck, I don't care, I'll do whatever. It's like,
oh, he's the legit not
give
a
like
fuck
the
motherfucker.
Legit, no, I
those
don't give
those,
a fuck.
Those people are all posers.
Of course.
And I think in the end, Gigi was a poser too, but he was closer to the genuine article than anybody I can think of. I think that beneath all of this, there was a side of Gigi Allen that was really scared and that was running from things and that was using this persona. To push the world away from him, you know, obviously.
Of course.
And that's really what anybody that tries to take this I'm a punk rocker till the day I die kind of mentality, you know, they all have a varying sense of their willingness to transgress social norms. And I think that Gigi Allen was willing to push that farther than any of the other edgelords.
I mean, yeah, you can see that. I mean, the scum fuck, I mean, life sucks. I mean, like, to even make that statement, you kind of have to, in a sense, like, wish life was better.
Right.
You know?
And, there's a couple reasons why I don't think Gigi Allen would make for a good DFF episode. One of them is just rank censorship.
Agreed.
You know,
yeah, it's pretty hard to do an honest episode about this guy.
You can't do
within the confines of YouTube or even Vimeo, really.
I mean, this guy was not a good guy. This is he's everything that YouTube doesn't want on its site. He's a sexual pervert, a sexual assault perpetrator. An attempted murderer.
Violent, yeah.
Utterly and completely violent,
vulgar,
and disdainful and dirty and wrong in every way.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, you know, that is what's interesting about him. And in order to cover that interest, you want to give people an idea. Because this picture right here is cool. This is a cool, aesthetically pleasing, rule of thirds picture of him rocking out at a concert covered in blood. But it doesn't tell you a fucking thing about what one of these would even have maybe been like. And in order to do that, we got to show some live footage of Gigi shitting on the stage and jerking off and trying to rape some woman that was serving drinks or whatever. You know what I mean? And you can't do it. Where can you do that? Where's the venue for that?
There isn't one.
You know what I mean? Even if we didn't put it on YouTube, which is what we do with, you know, some content that we know is just going to be flagrantly.
Even for Vimeo, it's too hot.
Right. Because we're, you know, we go through Patreon. Patreon doesn't want Gigi Allen as part of their...
Fuck
platform,
no.
You know what I mean?
No.
And that's why I think he's such a success. He was so successful at the persona he created for himself.
Yeah, because to this day, it's too edgy.
Yeah, I mean, he was ahead of anybody you can think of that's trying to be edgy.
All
right
hail
now.
Gigi Allen, king of the edgelords. Hooray!
Super racist guy. Like, basically a Nazi when it came to his ideology, although he just extended it to everybody.
Yeah,
he
I mean, like,
everybody
it's, not like,
rounded
it's
up.
Not like he thought the white race was any that much better, because right. He pretty much just despised all human life and everything and everyone. So, I mean, maybe there was a, I don't know, I've never heard a single story that makes me think there was a softer side anywhere, but I probably don't, I don't know.
And this intercedes for me a lot in these episodes, too, and maybe I shouldn't let it, but there's a really amazing documentary about Gigi Allen called Hated that you can find for free. I mean, it was never really officially released. You can find it on the internet if you search for G.G. Allin Hated. That has everything I'm talking about. Like pictures of G.G. having a stripper pee in his mouth for money. And pictures of G.G. flinging his shit like an ape at a concert. Cutting his skin with a busted open beer can. And just like literally shredding himself in front of an audience. Cramming a banana up his ass and shitting it out on stage.
Cool.
At a college speech.
Good job, G.G.
And you get to see all of that. Plus it's rife with interviews with G.G. that are exclusive to it. So when there's a really definitive piece of documentary film about something, it makes it hard for me to do an episode because really what I want to do is reference that film.
Yeah.
And then all I'm doing is basically just showing that movie. And
just saying like, hey, you should just watch this movie.
You know what I mean? And I don't really think I'm bringing anything that isn't mine to the topic. And that it's a really good documentary. So it's one of those things where I would rather tell our audience, like, instead of wasting their time recapping it, go watch that. It's the same reason why I've kind of shied away from doing a Ted Bundy episode. I know he's not on the list.
He is on the list.
Yes.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Well, then
we'll get to that.
We'll get to that, I suppose.
So how about this? This is Pompeii. Now, Paul, I believe you actually pulled the research for this.
Yeah, I remember
I
this.
Did.
And, this one, and decided this one was weird. You didn't like it.
This one was weird because, okay, if you guys will remember, when I was scheduled to do Pompeii, the day before we got demonetized.
Yes.
YouTube pulled our super chats and our monetization and all of that shit. And I was already done with the episode's research by that point. And I went and I could not stop thinking about a topic. I got in my mind this idea of trying to do this crazy show that conformed to all of YouTube's guidelines. And so instead of doing Pompeii, we did the Happy Fun Time for Monetization show.
Yes.
And that was, you know, a by the seat of my pants research job that I did in addition to this one that I brought into you guys. And I was like, hey, what do you think about doing this instead? And you guys all both thought it was a good idea. So Pompeii could be done. Now, I will tell you this. I've gone back and looked at the research, and it suffers from some of the things that other things on this list, for me at least, have suffered. It is a pretty well-known event. Pretty much everybody has. You're not going to shock anybody in our audience by showing them the people mummified in fucking ash. And when you get through what happened on that day, which we can reap from the historical account, and what it left behind, what's the twist that I'm bringing to this at all? At all.
I mean, everyone knows what happens with Pompeii.
Pompeii exists in this weird historical gray area where a lot of the stuff we know is like geological evidence, which doesn't make for a, you know, you can't focus 30 minutes of a show talking about why these lava rocks, you know, say that this was a giant explosion and not just a lava flow.
Maybe a historical show that just kind of, that's in their wheelhouse, that's all they talk about. I mean, that'd be a good episode for a podcast like that. But for us, I mean, yeah, you're probably not going to add much.
I always try, and I know I haven't always made good on this, but I always try and bring a little something that I feel like is us, or at least me, to one of these episodes. And when I went back and looked at the Pompeii episode, yeah, it's a crazy event that happened. It might make for an interesting episode, but I didn't feel like it was good enough. I just honestly felt like it would be kind of a really easily forgotten episode, which is why I was so anxious to replace it. You know what I mean?
In the first place.
So I don't know. I think I could do it. I honestly think I could take what I have on Pompeii and sit down and make it a cool show. But is it worth the effort when there's a billion other fucking topics out there that I could be spending my time doing it? I don't know.
I mean, just because the topic's well known, I don't think precludes it. But I think if you felt that, you know, like, I'm not going to really do anything to me that I feel is unique with this episode. I'm just going to recount an historical event. I mean, there's interest in that, but I think if there's nothing
else... Well,
I did
that. But if you think about it, like, that last... The show that I did, the fucking natural disasters that you'd never heard of. That one worked because at least I was able to give some shocking information to people. Everybody knows a bunch of people blew up in a volcano, got buried by ash. They've all seen the pictures.
They've seen the guy jerking off at the
They've
end.
They've seen the endless Nat Geo specials where
they cover
Pompeii.
The
and
dogs
the,
and shit. Yeah, I mean, it's something that's been so well covered and well done, and people have actually gone to the site and done all that stuff. It's like, we're not going to top going to the actual site and new recreations and all that.
I just felt like I wasn't bringing much to it other than just shit you could go find. And
not much new to bring to the table on that
right.
one. How about this? Jordan Peterson.
No, damn, TJ. This is one that I thought that you'd want to be all over.
This would definitely have been a TJ episode because I got to tell you, this motherfucker puts me right to sleep. I can't even listen to him talk.
So I think that the reason that this episode did not happen, and you know, I don't know that it was ever, I don't know how far it got. I know that there was a lot of people that wanted it.
Well, he was the hot fucking topic
he was
both sides of the political
Everybody
spectrum.
Was talking about Jordan Peterson at the time we considered doing this episode, and it was a huge thing, and it was like, you know, whenever there's something really big going on, there's always at least, like, something in your mind that says, like, should we do an episode on that? And, you know, Jordan Peterson, I had done a few video responses to stuff he'd done, and I started writing a book because I read part of his book, and it pissed me off so much that I was like, I'm writing my own book, fuck this. So it's like kind of like, I guess, a natural thing to say, well, why don't we do a whole episode on the guy? But, I think for me, what prevented it from happening is, you know, the format of our show is not, if our show was formatted a little bit more like, you know, like how DP was or something, where we could just select a fucking smattering of Jordan Peterson videos and do it.
Yeah.
There might have been something there, but even then, I feel like the longer you listen to him talk, the more you just want to bash your head against a fucking wall.
Yep.
Like, he just talks in circles. He never makes good points. He's basically just a sophist. There's no substance there. he refuses to commit to any sort of, like, tangible position. If you try to pin him down, he'll just talk circles around it.
Well, he buries it all in that monotonous way that he conveys information, too, which to me is really what kills him. Yeah. I don't mind disagreeing with the guy. I don't mind that he's got an out-there
political
philosophy.
He doesn't speak in an honest way.
I just can't.
He speaks in a way that obfuscates his meaning rather than elucidates it.
It drives me insane.
So I think that at some point, like after about 20 minutes of that, there's not much more to say. Once you've gone over the fact that he's not making sense, I mean, so first of
it's
all,
the word soup, dude.
Even when you do figure out what he's driving at, it's usually something fucking insipid, bland, and moronic. And so basically you have to sit there and listen to him talk in circles, then translate what he's actually trying to say, convert it into normal human speech, and then refute it. And it's pointless to do because it's not even anything profound. It's something he's trying to make sound profound by,
well, do you remember the thing?
You know, pumping it up with all this sesquipedalian bullshit.
You remember when he talked about basically like motivation, how people can like change themselves, and then it kind of comes back to like, you know, clean your room, bucko. And that was what that was his big argument. He makes this long ass speech, and he's all like, well, if you can't clean your own room, why should you be telling other people what to do? You can't even have a clean room.
Which is a retarded sentiment. And by
like,
the way,
what are you talking about?
His own room, we've seen in his live streams that his own fucking house is not some spotless place. So he's full of shit. I mean, and basically, I just didn't want to.
He's a self-help guru, dude, at this point.
At the end of the day, I just made the decision that I didn't want to spend an hour and a half to 2 hours or more talking about this guy. And we would have had to get into his life, frankly, I looked
TJ.
At his life, and it's not that interesting.
TJ.
What?
Why don't you tell everyone the truth?
The truth?
Fucking scared. Scared of the power of Jordan Peterson.
I think you should acknowledge that, because people are going to say, well, you just have no arguments against him. You're scared. You don't
want
to
argue
against
his
points.
I made several videos where I refuted points that he made. The first chapter of my book that's available on my YouTube channel is a direct refutation of some of the stuff he said in his book. So I feel like I've definitely confronted him.
You've spent
him.
Way more time than I have.
I've definitely confronted him in various ways, but, you know, he's a fucking moron. He's just a fucking idiot is really what it boils down to, and I don't feel like
with
it.
You just don't feel like there's anything, like, really, like, having seen most of his arguments, you don't feel like there's anything worth refuting,
I think he's a total paper tiger, and, you know, and at this point, I'm glad we didn't do the episode because he's nothing now. No one gives a fuck about Jordan Peterson anymore.
Nothing,
he's still got his acolytes and shit out there. But he's definitely dwindled
the
in terms
I mean, like, compared to what the fuck they were. Like, it was like
he's not a big deal anymore.
You had to deal with the cult of Peterson every time you fucking went on Twitter or something. And now, you know, I don't even see him mentioned. He had his little moment in the sun, and now he's done. And he's still out there doing his grift, and that's fine. But
there are people that are really susceptible to stuff that sounds intelligent.
I mean, it's just self-help bullshit.
Right.
I mean, you've talked about the phenomenon before of, you know, idiots finding someone who sounds smart that agrees with them, and right. that's basically what he is. That's his grift. It's like, hey, I'm a person who sounds intelligent but is saying all the stupid, espousing all the stupid positions that your retarded ass believes, so give me money. And that's basically what he is to me. So I didn't really feel like we needed a whole episode to say it, because I just said it in fucking 5 minutes.
Right.
The next fucking thing that we thought about doing an episode on, and I honestly don't even remember contemplating this episode.
This gets requested a lot.
So this is one of the ones
that comes up
episode.
In every poll we've ever done. It gets thrown around in Hideology a lot and in our chat a lot. There's a lot of weebs out there in our audience.
Right.
And they want to see us cover their favorite childhood thing.
Pokemon.
And for me, I won't speak for the other guys. For me, this was never, like, the problem with this for me is this was never my childhood thing.
Right.
I completely missed it. I was too old when Pokemon came out to give a fuck about whatever it is. And I know very little about it.
So, for me...
And I care even less than I know.
I remember watching the... like a little bit of the show. I was just reaching the age where I was getting a little bit too old to be watching a cartoon like that, but I did watch it a little bit towards the very beginning before I was just like, yeah, whatever, I'm going to move on to other things. But man, I mean, like you and I sat down at one point when we were doing more of our, like, we were doing more like movie reviews for sale and stuff. And we did a fucking thing
right.
where
we watched
the Pokemon the first movie. And the backlash against us for our not liking that terrible fucking movie was insane. Like, they could not handle the fact that we didn't like that movie.
Let me tell you,
we thought it was insipid,
dude,
that we thought it was trash.
The vitriol levied against you guys is like something I've almost never seen before. Like,
people hated it. I mean,
look, a lot of people did agree with us, and some people bought. We got pretty good sales on it, but like, that movie was terrible.
And look, I got to be honest with you. I understand people for whom this was their childhood being so defensive.
Me included, yeah.
You come to me and want to talk shit about the Ninja Turtles or G.I. Joe.
What, fuck you?
Right. I'm going to be just as voraciously defensive of everything that came out of my childhood as you are about this. So I can see it, and I'm not trying to fuck on you for that. But I got to be honest with you. This is telling. Everything that I know about Pokemon, with the exclusion of a couple of the movie I watched with you, and I went and saw the live-action movie with my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. Okay, man.
The reason I know that thing is because of the huge cultural radiation of this franchise. I know names of Pokemon just because I've seen other people make jokes about that Pokemon so many times that I know what that Pokemon looks like. Never seen it in a show. Never had any connection with it outside of just how... Think about how what a megalith this thing is.
Oh, totally, dude. Well, there was the series. There's the games. I mean, they've now done Detective Pikachu, which is a hit movie.
And
I mean, like, it's
even being somebody that's totally not interested. And I'm not, once again, in the same way you're probably not interested in GoBots from the fucking 80s, all right? I'm not interested in Pokemon. But think about what a crushingly huge franchise this is in comparison to anything that we have.
Right. And not only that,
I have actively tried to avoid Pokemon, and I've seen two of its films, and I know probably off the top of my head half a dozen to a dozen Pokemon that I know nothing yeah. about other than their names.
And not only that, I will just say that, you know, the amount of ridiculous just backlash we got just from criticizing that movie just
Dude.
Makes me reticent to fucking
you-
even... dip my toe in it again because
just
like, I don't feel like getting endless shit because I don't like some terrible cartoon.
Just because, just like you said a minute ago, like Jordan Peterson's a paper tiger, dude. This is the fucking sleeping dragon. This is
this is the
Hydra.
Sleeping giant right here.
This is the fucking
I
am
Hydra looking to kick it again.
If you poke it with a stick, you're going to fucking get the rat.
Because I'll be honest with you, I don't have much nice to say about this thing. It's kind of garbage.
Well,
it's really just fucking trash, in
my
opinion.
They don't have much nice to say about your childhood TV shows either. They don't get it like we don't get this. I see the brotherhood in that. I really do.
See, I disagree with you. I feel like Ninja Turtles is just flat out better than this.
Well, see, that's the most subjective thing.
It is totally subjective.
So, like, I can't accept it as a truth then.
Dude, I liked Pokemon. It's a fucking...
Look.
Like when I was, like, 11 to 13, I really liked it.
Of the matter, what's put before you in the form of your heroes and the adventures that you spend your imagination time thinking about as a child has a profound effect on you as an adult. And it probably causes you to be too biased to look at the Ninja Turtles and go, man, that was fucking high art, bro.
I would never say it's high art.
Well, you know, but, like, but it was a saying. Saying it's objectively out, better than another dumbass cartoon.
Yeah, you know it was what? A pretty good toy commercial.
As you guys are both older, like, this is not really your target. You're not the target demographic. I more was. And I can tell you, like, it just, to me, it blew my mind because, like, it was not like the fucking, I had grown up and basically with those American cartoons, and suddenly they brought this over from Japan.
It was your first exposure to anime?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, it was. Like, well, not my first. I'd seen Akira as a kid and stuff like that, but, like, I'd never really thought about, like, a show like this. And I was addicted. Like, every Saturday morning, I had to go watch, like, okay, new episode of Pokemon. And I was all into the cards. I had all the fucking cards, the holographic cards and shit. Like, it was just something that you, like kids in that age range just totally got into. Totally, well, I remember the school was, like, cracking down on Pokemon card trading, like, because kids would get upset because they make a bad trade and shit. You're like, yeah, I'll trade you this Japanese one. It's not holographic, but it's worth more because it's Japanese. And they'd be like, oh, okay. And then you'd be like, you'd sucker them for, like, a fucking, you know, holographic Charizard because they didn't know what they had.
Was it 96 when Pokemon came out?
I'm not sure.
It was around 95, 96.
Okay. I would have been 16. And let me tell you when Pokemon lost the war for my mind. And maybe this, you know, I should look beyond this. But I'm telling you, this is when I was done with Pokemon. The first time I ever heard about Pokemon was on a newscast.
Oh, God.
And it was like, the newest sensation, Pokemon, which is short for pocket monsters, involves running around and collecting monsters that you can carry around with you. And I was like, nope. Don't care about that. And after that, I literally never sought out Pokemon. I never cared about Pokemon. Like I said, everything I know about Pokemon has been just kind of scalped because people mention it so much.
Hey, TJ.
Like, I know the main character of this is Ash.
Ash Ketchum, yeah.
I know that his girlfriend's name is Misty.
Not really his girlfriend. But
yeah. I don't know anything about Misty, but I know that she's in it because it's been mentioned so many times.
TJ.
Yeah, what?
I want you to look at me, TJ.
What's up?
You had a choice all those years ago. Because I begged Mom to take me to see the Pokemon, the first movie. And you know what you said the night before? You're like, I'm not doing that stupid fucking movie. And whose ass was in the car? Your ass was in the car, TJ.
See, TJ was so... He was
so
right
he,
in
he
the zone.
He kind of still liked it. He kind of...
I did. Look, I guess I told Paul before you came... You were out in the bathroom. But I told Paul, like, when this first came out, I was on that cusp where, like,
yeah.
I was maybe a little too old for it, but not quite too
old. How
old
were you in 96?
I was 11.
12, 11?
I was 11.
Yeah. So you're right on the back edge.
Yeah, so I'm like kind of in between childhood and adolescence when this comes out.
We saw that when we lived in Kent, Washington. So
right.
You were probably,
so I was a little older by then.
Yeah, so it was probably 1998.
And I think it was shortly after watching that movie that I kind of fell off being a fan.
Yeah, I kind of remember that. Like, I do remember you seeing the movie and you're kind of like, that sucks.
You know what the last thing I got into was, and I probably got into it a little late, was Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, that
dude.
Was my last, the last gasp of my child. And I wasn't even, I wasn't as super into it as some people were. But I liked the Power Rangers. It was probably the last kids thing that was marketed that I was into.
Actually, so Pokemon, the first movie, came out in the U.S. in 99.
Right. So I was like, what,
so
13
you were
or something?
So you were 19, Paul. So you were way, you know, that you were way too
old. Oh, it came
old
out in 99? Well, that explains it.
Yeah, you were 19.
The movie did.
The movie did.
The first movie.
But it was a huge thing before the fucking movie.
Right. Oh, yeah. The show was a huge hit.
I think it was like maybe 97, 98. It was like just blown up.
Okay. So next topic here. West Memphis 3. Damian Eccles. Charles.
It's Chris Baldwin.
Chris Baldwin there. And what's the other one's name?
Jason Baldwin. And Jesse Miskelly.
Okay. So these guys got convicted of murder for killing, what, three kids or something?
Yeah,
three
8-year-old boys were taken into the woods somewhere and basically butchered.
Right.
And these three kids were arrested for the crime on...
And convicted on the basis of, you like Metallica,
yeah, Metallica, that's too crazy.
It was during the height of the Satanic Panic, which we actually did an episode on.
Yes, we did, yeah.
So we
I think we briefly covered
and
them
we did.
In there.
We mentioned the West Memphis 3. The question with these guys is this. Is their story interesting enough to do an episode on? I think so.
Yeah. But there's this is another one where there's already like a real definitive kind of series
literal,
of documentaries about.
There's like six. there's probably like 8 hours worth of really super well-produced documentary on this, all part of the same series.
Yeah, the Paradise Lost, right?
Right, which was one of the last really great HBO documentaries to come out.
Yes.
And
I saw part one. I didn't see the follow-ups, but I do remember
I've seen all three. I actually recently watched all three.
Okay.
Because my girlfriend hadn't seen them before.
Right. It's a crazy story.
It's crazy. It's filled with characters and intrigue and crazy shit. But how am I going to beat Paradise Lost?
We can't.
It has in-person interviews with each of these people that I would want to reference constantly. It has in-person interviews with a lot of the families of the kids.
It'd be another thing where we're just
courtroom
scavenging
footage.
Someone else's documentary and trying to,
right.
You know.
It's so comprehensive and so good on top of that. If some can be comprehensive and boring and we could have spiced it up. But it's not. It's a really well-produced, really interesting, fast-paced bunch of documentaries that really cover every intricacy of this case, from all of the prosecutors and defense attorneys involved to all of the townspeople and their reaction.
I mean, yeah, when you have something as comprehensive as that and just it's taken all these angles and just put it together, like I said, 8 hours of content. I mean, we're not going to make an 8-hour show about this. I mean, we're not going to go out and actually go into the field interview
and it's just
people,
thing,
track them all down. I mean,
and it's another thing where it's like, what's our twist?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if we thought they were guilty or something,
sure,
and we wanted to try to lay down like, okay, well, here's a counter narrative to what the documentaries put forth, but I don't think they are.
There isn't one. I mean, it's literally incontrovertible what
happened. The case is ridiculous. It was a ridiculous case. The fucking conviction was total nonsense.
It was a kangaroo fucking court. Come on.
It was a total farce. So, I mean, there's we don't have another angle to come at it from. There's already a comprehensive documentary that tells the story better.
And we would want to reference that heavily in terms of materials pulling for it and narrative.
Right, and then
because
like,
it's literally like it's the Bible on this thing.
I mean, like, at the
when they got released, it was a national news story.
I mean, like, the best we could really do is do, like, an abridged version of the documentary. And what sort of like comedy stonery gold are we going to get out of it? You know what I mean? Like, there's not much there.
Not every one of our episodes has a whole ton of that, like,
right,
wacky appeal to it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we try to put at least a little bit of that in.
Like, the Dahmer episode is pretty scant on jokes, but ended up being a good
episode. It's a great one. It really is. Like, as far as the standards of what we do here on this show, I think that's like a. I'd show that one to anybody any day.
It would be hard for me to unmarry myself from what I know about this case enough to put my own spin on this without feeling like I'm just plagiarizing the people that made the Paradise Lost documentary.
So the next one is another one that, Paul, you actually pulled research for. It's not on bananas. It's about the banana and, I guess, the salt wars.
Yeah.
And you pulled a whole episode, you did the research, and then you came to us the next day and said,
like,
look, this sucks.
I want to be honest with everybody about this. The episode was not going to be good. And that might have been due to failings of myself as a researcher on the episode. Maybe my head was not in the right space. But for whatever reason, what I had when it came time to deliver the research on this episode was going to be dry and boring and filled with references to places that don't evoke much fucking, you know, most of our fucking audience is in North America. And most North Americans know nothing about South America. Tons of this took place in little villages and on the borders of South American countries that most people know nothing about. There was just too much drag. So this was actually going to be about the banana wars and the salt wars, both of which I found way less interesting than I thought they were going to be when I went in. Yes, it's an example of America going to war under false pretenses to protect its business interests. So you have that intrigue. But really what surrounded that was a bunch of military campaigns and towns people have never heard of. And with stakes that people don't care about. And I really felt like it was just kind of a dead episode, like DOA. When I finished putting everything together, I went through it and I was like, is this going to make an interesting discussion prompt for the other two people I work with? Are we going to be able to make hay with this, either in the informative end of it, where people walk away going, oh, man, I'm glad, you know, I learned that. Or in the jokey end of it, or both. And I was like, no, to all three.
It's just across the board not going to
work.
Right,
the one joke that I could see landing was, you having a banana up your ass.
And that only You can only get so much mileage out of that.
Yeah, you're right. You're going to get 5 or 10 minutes of that, and it's going to be like...
And then it's going to be like, hmm, right. Where else do we go?
I mean, even if you did and it you as a being, recurring callback joke,
and
you know.
And you being salty, too.
Right, right.
Oh, Paul's salty.
Salt,
TJ
salt
stuck a
bananas.
Banana up his butt.
I've got a theory, guys. They just didn't want to make fun of themselves.
Oh, yeah. We've always been so reticent to humiliate ourselves.
Gotcha,
here.
Bitches.
So, yeah. So... This one, you know, we did something else. I can't remember what replaced.
I don't remember
this.
What we did. I think we had two episodes we were going to shoot that day, and we just shot one. And
Paul
we just...
did Wii Folk.
That's right.
Yeah, you did the Wii Folk.
You know what?
Which was a good episode.
Exactly.
Not when great, but good.
There's a thing. Maybe we can talk about this. When I'm researching, when I'm mm-hmm. doing the research for these, I go in with not a very fucking well-defined narrative in mind.
Right.
I'm trying to look at the interesting parts of this and construct my own little narrative out of it that feels like it flows. And I'm telling you, with that Wii Folk episode that I ended up replacing this one with, I had a fucking blast looking that up.
Yeah, I mean, like, I find that if you have fun researching something, like, the episode we just did where it didn't really require much research, but it was, like, the big Tournament of Champions 2.
Yeah.
Like, when I was sitting down just coming up with locations and rules, and I spent, like, 4 hours just coming up with the rules and locations and these handicaps and all this other stuff. And, you know, it was, like... It was a long time, and it took longer than I thought it would, because I actually kind of went into it thinking, like, I'll do this because it'll be easier than doing a bunch of research, but it was actually super hard, but it was a lot of fun. So, and I find that usually, not always, but very usually if I have fun researching an episode or putting together the episode, it's going to be fun to do. And usually if it's a drag to fucking research, it's going to be a drag to, I mean, and these rules are not written in stone. There's definitely been times where the research is hard, but the episode's good, or the research is fun, but the episode flags. But usually, fun research is a fun episode.
I really hope people do enjoy that one, simply because I've even thought of refinements we can do to make that even better.
Cool. Which one?
The Tournament of Champions? Well, like, here's what I was thinking. Because I actually did some research last night, and this is kind of an aside from what we're talking about, but, like, Shang Tsung, I actually learned in my research, cause I'm like, I thought he was a flame dude, and he actually is. So that kind of totally changed the whole sewer scenario that we had for that.
Yeah, cool. That's true.
So I actually looked into, like,
know
that,
he was a flame guy.
Yeah, like he has powers, so like that might necessarily affect. I don't watch.
I know he can throw fireballs. We talked about that.
But yeah, but I looked in, like, I was kind of questioning that. So I kind of thought, like, one thing we could actually do with that is kind of at the beginning list their powers, as you know, from like the wikis about them and stuff. So
right.
We can have like a general rundown and kind of a graphical thing. Because I also thought that would help us, because then if we have a more clearly defined thing, like, here's their weaknesses. Like, if this person is fire, they can say they're weak to water or whatever.
Cool.
You know, but I mean, like, but the whole point of that is just that that's a concept that I think really excites you in a way that you think about things like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like I said, with this episode, it didn't drive you. You did the research, and it probably just felt like, I remember you coming in, you're just like, dude, it's like I pretty much researched to 11 a.m.
It was one of the hardest things I ever researched, because I just dug and I dug and I dug and I dug, and I was trying to find these nuggets of interest, and I was.
You never felt the connection with you personally either.
I didn't have fun doing it. It wasn't a topic that I had this, you know, immediate interest in, although I've researched a lot of things that I wasn't immediately interested in that ended up being
and
really
then be
fun.
Like, whoa, this is actually pretty
cool.
Because
you find an angle or something that you enjoy about it.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes it just doesn't work out.
It just didn't have that.
So this next episode,
oh yeah,
Big Dicks, which I can't show you a real big dick, so I just got the...
Well, if you put yourself on the screen, you know, there you go.
The emoji that everyone uses when they're talking about big dicks. But, you know, so this is an episode. So we did an episode on small dicks, and we did an episode on penis enlargement, and both of those were my episodes.
Right.
So shockingly enough.
That's a double helping of dick.
A double dicking.
So I wanted to complete the dick trilogy and do the big dick episode.
Right.
Because, you know, penis enlargement is not the same. A penis enlargement episode is, that episode is actually about dudes with average dicks.
Right.
Who just feel insecure and want a huge dick.
Some of them do have small dicks, though.
Some have small. The vast majority of people getting that surgery have normal sized dicks.
Right.
They just want huge dicks. So I want to do an episode about huge dicks. And look, the problems that huge dick guys have, because they do have some issues that are, like, tough for them and shit. And, you know, a lot of times they get in relationships and then they can't have the sex they enjoy because the woman they're with can't handle the dick they've got. And, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So, and, you know, there's been big dicks have a big cultural impact and all this other stuff. And, you know, it's been a theme in art and literature and blah, 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 blah. And I was going to do that whole episode. But as I was doing it, my wife comes in And she's like, are you really doing another fucking episode about dicks? I mean, why don't you do an episode on vaginas? I'm like, you know what? You're right. Three fat neckbeards talking about vag is probably a slightly more compelling episode than yet another dick episode.
Fucking big old dick. God, so big.
So I did. So that's how this episode actually got replaced with a vagina episode. Although I do think this one will eventually happen.
And
but
that's the way the dick flops.
But I'm going to put the big dicks on the table for a while.
It's on hiatus.
Yeah, this big dick. The big dicks. I think we.
Well, it's a big
it needs
dick.
A break.
It needs to rest.
It needs to marinate. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It needs to fucking marinate.
It's got to fucking marinate.
You know, in its own sweat and other substances. But yeah, this ended up being the vagina episode, which I'm pretty proud of as an episode, by the way.
Terrible episode. Terrible.
But yeah, I think this episode will eventually happen, but it's going
to
be
a little
while.
And of course, you're going to be the one making it.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's going to be
without a doubt.
Unless Paul beats me to the punch. I guess Paul could jump on it. Or maybe you should do the big dick episode, Scotty. Maybe you should just fucking be like, I'm going to complete TJ's dick
trilogy.
Dude, look,
TJ, I think your heart would be the most in it, man.
I think you're right. So this is an episode, this kind of maybe cheating a little bit, because this episode did happen in a way. So that we were going to do an episode on monsters. It was a fucking Halloween special.
Yeah.
And, we had this idea that each of us was going to show up dressed as a different monster. I don't remember who was going to be what. I think I was going to be a werewolf or something.
I think I was going to do Wolfman.
Okay, so Paul was going to be the werewolf.
I think you were going to do
a
vampire.
I was going to be a vampire, and Scotty was going to be like
a mad scientist
or something like that.
And Stevie was going to be my pet zombie, remember?
Right, and yeah, we were going to have Stevie in there, and everyone was going to be dressed as a different monster, and everyone was going to argue for why their monster is the best monster.
I still don't think it's a bad idea.
No, I mean, the episode is, I mean, it was a great idea. The problem was that some stuff was going on, I don't even remember what, but it was just like, our schedule was just chock full of shit, and it just seemed like there was no fucking time to put together the episode we wanted. So we ended up downgrading the idea down to just doing a top 10 movie monsters list, which we did. And I think the episode turned out fine. It's a good episode, and I'm proud of it and all that. But this episode that could have been, I think probably would have been a better episode. But,
oh, yeah. I mean, if we'd have put the time and effort,
right,
I guarantee it would be more memorable.
We just couldn't fucking find the time. And we couldn't fuck. I mean, like we would have had to change the way we were shooting and stuff. And
we were having tons of audio problems at this time.
Yeah, there
time,
was just
so
a lot of issues going on.
It was a tumultuous time for tech and us.
Yeah.
And putting together a bigger production like this was just something that was kind of out of our wheelhouse.
It was not in the cards at the moment. I mean, we could have done it, but it seemed like we were all under like tremendous strain and stress
also
and stuff. And
the desire to do the episode itself justice and not just throw something together.
Right, we wanted to do it right, and we just felt like we didn't have the time or energy to really do it right, so we went with a different concept.
Yep.
So it did end up happening in a way, but as we conceived it, with us all dressed as movie monsters and really arguing this out, didn't quite happen. Didn't happen at all. So that's a lost episode. This one I kind of all the ones that we've gone through and been like, we didn't do this, we didn't do that, this is the one I'm actually kind of like, man, that kind of sucks that we didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we could do it justice, I think it's bigger production than, you know, the average episode by a long shot.
Oh, yeah. But so it was going to be our Halloween special, so, you know. But, yeah, it was just, there was too much on our plate at the time. So this is another one that I wanted to do that right around the time I wanted to do this episode, there was this huge, popular Netflix documentary that was made on Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do a Ted Bundy episode, but the documentary that was made was so fucking comprehensive that once again, it was just like,
yep,
didn't want to compete with the documentary. And I was talking to the guys about it, and I was like, you know, I really kind of want to do this Ted Bundy episode. And Paul's like, you know, there was just this big documentary, and I'd seen it, and he'd seen it. And I was like, you know, maybe I can find something that they left on the fucking, you know, bone. Maybe there's some meat left on the bone, yeah, that documentary didn't go over.
We kind of left it with like, look, TJ, if you can find that angle that hasn't been covered, like, we're all over it.
And, you know, I looked for an angle to justify doing it in light of the super popular documentary that came out that was trending on Netflix and all that stuff. And there was a movie that came out shortly thereafter with, you know, a more a dramatized thing as well. And, you know, I just couldn't find, I couldn't find the angle. I found a few angles that maybe were a slight twist on it, but I couldn't find an angle that differentiated it enough from that to ultimately justify what needed to happen. But it kind of sucks because, you know, we'd done such a great episode on Dahmer and a few other serial killers we'd done episodes on, and like some true crime stuff. And the facts of the case and the character of Ted Bundy are real interesting. But it was just another one where it's like, can we really do this better justice than this Netflix documentary? That what was it called, like Conversations with a Killer or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's less about the documentary existing and more about just the culture being hyper aware and everybody kind of knowing the facts of the case because of that. And
because it got so hot,
you know,
20
years
like,
from now, if we're still doing this, you know, a Bundy show would probably go over pretty fucking well. You know, because there's gonna be a whole generation of kids that come up that don't give a fuck about that documentary and they're not gonna know about him, and you know, but. At this point, I just feel like he was so saturated at the time. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it was just it was like too much in the zeitgeist. Everyone was knew about the facts of the case and was talking about the facts of the case. So it was just not the right time to do it because there was nothing new that we could really bring to the table.
It's why I think the Dahmer episode was so easy for me to make.
Because Dahmer wasn't like a hot thing going on.
In my childhood, he was. Jeffrey Dahmer jokes were everywhere, and he was just really, and the facts of his case were really a part of the national zeitgeist. And when I did the Dahmer episode, Dahmer's, you know, he's not that much of a big news guy anymore. People are still aware he exists, but the facts of his case have been obscured by, you know, at least a generation of people that have grown up and not cared.
And you really went with a narrative and you read the father's book that, you know, seems to have been lost to time.
Right.
And
a father's story.
Right.
And that was an angle a lot of people have not heard about.
And,
that.
You know, a lot of people hadn't heard that narrative because that wasn't really the narrative that was being pushed by the media. And, you know, I thought we did a very sympathetic look at Jeffrey Dahmer.
Well, that was all driven by reading that My Friend Dahmer graphic novel that you shared.
Yeah,
with
years
me.
And years ago.
Years ago. Because I'd really, you know, I grew up making the cannibal jokes and looking down on Jeffrey Dahmer and kind of dismissing Jeffrey Dahmer as a freak. And then that really, like, not only invited me, but kind of forced me to humanize him. And so it was really interesting to try and look at this character that basically, when he was popular, he was just demonized for the sake of demonizing. And I feel like, honestly, that's what's being done with Bundy here, too. I guarantee you there's a sympathetic angle on Bundy that could be found, but I don't know if the research is out there for that. You know, there's no My Father book.
Yeah, there's not. That book hasn't been written. We haven't heard that account as far as I know. Maybe it's out there somewhere, but I never found it. I tried to do some different angles. I even thought about approaching it from an angle of like Ted Bundy is innocent, but I decided not to do that. He's clearly guilty. Although I do think that some of the evidence used against him was pretty circumstantial.
Oh, like the bite evidence you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. A lot of the evidence does not really hold up very well.
No.
But you know, the amount of circumstantial evidence against him does kind of make it
pretty overwhelming.
Ridiculous to think he's not guilty.
Like his MO being committed in different states. And, you know, I mean.
But not a whole lot of, really almost no forensic evidence against this guy other than that bite mark. So here's an episode that, Scotty, I think you actually, did you complete research on this or did you start research on this?
I started the research on this.
This millennial versus boomer, for those of you who are not looking at the screen now.
I think ultimately the episode, it felt like the boomers had kind of had their time and it was more like, it's kind of more like, they're more like their legacy years. And I feel like the millennials haven't really done as a generation, like it's not as complete as it needs to be. You know what I mean? So I felt like it was almost like a premature to do this episode. Like you could definitely draw comparisons, but I looked at everything. I just didn't like the narrative flow of it. I didn't like the categories I had, and it was just one of those times where I'm like, that's pretty rare for me.
How far into the research did you get?
Pretty far. I just didn't feel like it was going to be a great episode. It's kind of like what
so
Paul
was it
did.
Like 75% complete?
Yeah,
or?
something along those lines. And I just looked at it and I was like, this is going to be very heavy in information. I don't know how much discussion this is really gonna, you know, produce. None of us here are really boomers, so it's like we don't have really that angle. And a lot of the angles I felt like with that was you kind of had like it's talking about the experience of that time period. So it's like, okay, I'm just like you said, I'm just gonna fucking scavenge from this documentary. I'm gonna scavenge from this time period. And I just didn't feel like I was, at the end of the day, was going to have enough that I felt comfortable with going forward to make the episode what I wanted to be. And if I don't feel like I can make the episode entertaining in the way that I think it needs to be, then I'm just going to have to say I don't want to do it.
Yeah. I mean, this one might be able to be done. I would almost rather see just the boomer generation actually examined, because it's, you know, it's become an epithet now that doesn't really mean what it actually means. You know, anybody that's older than 20 now is a boomer. And but really, you know, the last boomer was born in 1955, so they're a damn sight older than most of the people that are called boomers. And they had a really interesting, like, their generation is pretty fucking interesting. It can be presented in an interesting way, but and I think the millennials could probably get the singular treatment too, but the versus mechanic here, I feel like there is
such a battle, but like a lot of times millennials, and I guess what's the generation under us, generation
X.
The Zoomers. Yeah. I feel like they constantly are like attacking boomers, but the people they're attacking for the most part aren't actually boomers. They kind of just attack anyone who they think has a quote unquote boomer mentality.
Well, I've been called a boomer a bunch of times, and I'm a millennial according to this.
Even if you weren't a millennial, even if you fell short,
I'd be Gen X.
Yeah, you'd be a Gen Xer. So you're between Gen X and millennial. You're not a fucking boomer. You're not even close. You know. So I mean, like it's kind of weird.
My parents are boomers.
Yeah,
my parents were born in the 1950s.
When we're talking about boomers, we're talking about real old motherfuckers. You know, according to this, it's from 1935 to 1955, which is a while back at this point. Now, I mean, like, different. I've seen different lists categorize it differently, and you know, it doesn't seem like it's super defined what the decades are, but
there's a general range that stays pretty static.
So, I mean, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I just felt like it kind of broke down with the I agree with Paul. It's like I think they're better off as individual episodes than using the versus mechanics. That's honestly where the breakdown kind of occurred with the episode. I kind of looked at it. I was like, I mean, you could compare some of these things, but it's just there's a lot of differences. I mean, obviously, there's like obviously universal kind of human truths, you know, sprinkled out, in that. But I just felt like the verses weren't going to work the way I wanted them to. And it just felt better just saying no.
I just feel like the antagonism against boomers is not usually directed against actual boomers. So it's kind of hard to define what boomer means the way most people use it when they do like,
it's,
I know, okay,
it's
boomer.
Most accurately,
it means you're out of touch.
Right. Yeah.
That's all it is. It's you're too old to be in touch with what we're talking about.
But that's too vague of a concept to really center an episode around. Well, so
it really is.
Yep, and that's pretty much why it didn't happen.
Because out of touch with what? Who knows? So I didn't pull a picture of Rick Wiles, but there was a suggestion of I think it was one we were watching a Rick Wiles video, and I was like, we should do Rick Wiles versus Alex Jones. And the real problem with it is Alex Jones is just going to destroy Rick Wiles in that contest.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way to.
There's no one you can really put up against Alex. Like, if you're going to be, if the contest is like, who's the craziest motherfucker, Alex Jones just wins.
Right.
He wins against anybody. Because, look, even if anybody who's crazier than him is not even a third of the showman he is.
Right.
And anybody who's as good of a showman as him is not as crazy as he is by a long shot. So, I mean, like, he's just.
He's a rare breed.
He's a rare breed of a person who is totally off his fucking rocker and a consummate showman and a total fucking con artist. So, I mean, like, he's like at the top echelon of at least three different things.
Like, even the negatives, too. Like, nobody is a bigger shill than he is.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Nobody chases the buck as much as he does. Nobody is as willing to sink to the depths that he is to make a dollar. You know, they just don't quite get there.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, he's three things in my mind. He's a crazy motherfucker, he's an entertainer, and he's a con man. And as far as I'm concerned, he is at the top level of all three of those things, so there's really no one you could put against him.
Yeah.
At least not that I know of.
Nobody living.
He's a singular figure that you kind of have to just cover on his own, and that's what ended up happening with him.
And so, you know, there was just no, like, putting him against Rick Wiles, it'd be ridiculous, one-sided. There's no point. Rick Wiles, he says some crazy. I mean, is he as crazy as Alex Jones? Maybe, but
he doesn't have the showmanship.
His crazy, like he doesn't have a fucking. Alex Jones has more showmanship in his little pinky than Rick Wiles has in his whole fucking body.
I would watch Alex Jones's Pinky show before I watched a Rick Wiles show.
Right, and Rick Wiles is just a boring motherfucker, and we'd have to just really delve into a bunch of his shit, and like every once in a while he says something absurd, but most of what he says is the same shit over and over again.
The Rick Wiles part.
The Jews are going to do this, and Obama's going to put the death squad, and blah, 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 blah.
Anytime we were talking about, if we had done that, anytime we were talking about Rick Wiles, we'd all just want to get back to Alex Jones.
Yeah.
That's
right.
It
would have just been an Alex Jones show with a Rick Wiles roadblock constantly in the way. And that's why I chose not to even pull a picture of Rick Wiles for this. Because it's just like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Rick Wiles is nothing. Alex Jones, say what you want about him, is part of the fucking cultural zeitgeist and an interesting fucking compelling figure, for better or worse.
Yeah. Alex Jones is getting international media coverage. Rick Wiles is getting covered by like Right Wing Watch.
And that's about us. Occasionally. Not even often, because most of what he says is just the same shit.
Yeah, he's warmed over. He's boring.
The Jews. Oh, the Democrats are going to go to civil war with us, and they're going to kill us, and we're going to kill them, and blah, 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 blah. It's like, who cares? Shut up. Fucking Alex Jones is talking about fucking literal vampire psychic goblins coming out of the fucking ground.
Yeah,
and,
out of the fifth dimension. And steal your soul.
And, you know, the fucking Hollywood elites are killing children and eating their pituitary glands to gain power or whatever the fuck crazy nonsense this motherfucker's spouting any given day of the week. And he's entertaining, and then he'll fucking sell you a goddamn vitamin supplement that doesn't do shit. And it's kind of beautiful.
Get yourself some bone broth, TJ.
Get sell you your fucking InfoWars sticker, your InfoWars t-shirt, your fucking bone broth, your fucking brain force,
look,
whatever
TJ,
the fuck else.
You got to keep your brain in tip-top shape to see what the elites are doing. To see what's going on out there, TJ.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that covers why we didn't do this one.
And I've had fans come to me, by the way, and be like, you know, I'll actually open my mind to Alex Jones, and you know what? His supplements actually work great, and you guys need to fucking give him a chance.
All right, good for you.
I'm like, all right, you know what? If you found something to believe in this fucking fucked up world, good
There's
for
a
you.
Sucker born every minute.
But
yeah, exactly.
But you know, man, I don't buy it.
It's called the placebo effect.
So the next one we decided not to do. This is Cops. I don't know. Was this one of your episodes, Scotty?
Yeah, this was like it was. I mean, we've kind of flirted with doing like police brutality, the police in general. And I just feel like it's something that we all, I mean, we've talked about extensively in our personal lives, and obviously you've made videos on your channel, TJ.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like, I think every time like we've kind of thrown the idea about, it's just never had any traction for it with the show.
Well, here's another problem is, we do a show called Flash Fried.
Yeah.
Where we talk about the news, and there's so many opportunities on that show to discuss.
There's almost a police, recurring ripping on the cops
right.
segment.
There's almost, I mean, every fucking episode, there's some new thing that some cops have done. And, you know, sometimes they're positive stories about the police where we do take the police side. I'm not going to say
when they do the right thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
We're not one sided about this. It's not just mindless, like police bad.
They bad. We good.
But more often than not, what we're covering is negative stories about the fucking cops because they do a lot of shit that's fucking wrong. And they do a lot of brutal shit. And they do a lot of shit where they fucking use violence as the first resort and not the last like it should be.
And I felt like, you know, a lot of these things tend to be topical. Like, people want to talk about this is the latest kind of, you know, instance of police brutality, and people want to discuss this incident. So, like, I feel like doing an episode, it would just went a lot of just referencing back to bad shit the police departments across the U.S. had done. You know, and there's definitely angles which it could be done. You could talk about the lack of training. You could talk about, like, the standards they have. At least the police departments. You can talk about how internal affairs in most police departments are a total joke. You know, that there's unfair treatment. It's totally biased in favor of the police if they kill someone or even if they commit a crime. I mean, so there's a lot of different angles, but we kind of, like I said, we kind of get into that almost on a weekly basis with Flash Fried. So I don't think, it felt like it was almost unnecessary because we've covered all those topics, you know, several times over, you know, via Flash Fried.
So here's hey, look, Paul. The Baron Stain Bears,
the
Paul.
The Mandela Effect.
The Baron Stain Bears.
This truly is a hellscape.
This is, we wanted to do an episode, I guess, about the Mandela Effect.
And that's not saying we haven't done it yet, but we obviously...
It could happen still.
It could still happen.
This is definitely an episode that is potentially still going to happen. We haven't done it yet. So, Scotty, this is one of the ones you brought up. So, why don't you tell us kind of like what's happened with this?
I've just seen this requested endlessly. And it seems like these kind of topics, like, you know, the Fermi paradox and shit like that, like, you see them come up a lot. But I think with us, I've just never seen a lot of will to do it. Like, we've talked about the Mandela effect and the impact, you know, like, oh, you know, I remember this and it's actually this. Like, you know, Paul has a Sinbad movie that he claims exists. But
Shazam.
I've seen
it. Yeah. He claims that you haven't seen one, but Mandela effect.
It was in the Berenstain universe.
Yeah, but obviously, you know, you're in a different universe now, Paul, so... It just seems like an interesting topic that we've just, and I mean, a lot of fans have wanted it, but we've never got around to making it. You know, it's just something we haven't ever kind of come up with a concept. Like, we're going to talk about, you know, the different impacts.
So I'll tell you why I don't think it's happened.
Why is that?
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, the Mandela effect is just, hey, a bunch of people misremembered something. There's no, I mean, like, we're not jumping between universes and shit.
Says you.
And most of the Mandela effects, honestly, like, there's a few that are kind of really interesting, like the Berenstain universe or the Shazam movie, or obviously the one it's named after of people remembering Nelson Mandela dying in the fucking 80s when he didn't. You know, there's a few that are actually kind of fascinating.
There's a lot of lame ones,
but 99.9% of these Mandela effects are really fucking lame. Like, I remember the Monopoly guy having a monocle, but mind-blowingly, he actually doesn't.
He did.
No, he
did.
He didn't.
You're wrong.
He didn't.
Oh, well, you know what? Fuck you, TJ. I'm announcing it right here on this show. 2020 is the year of Mandela. I'll fucking scoop this up. I'll
all right.
do
it. Oh,
Paul's
shit.
Doing it. Paul's going to do
not, it. I don't know exactly when it'll happen, but 2020 is the year of Mandela. Because the people have a right to know.
You know, I thought we already did an episode on the Mandela.
Oh,
did
shit,
we?
Did we?
Yeah, I think we actually did it already.
God damn.
Yeah, we actually did
Too
that.
Too late, Paul.
Holy shit.
Paul already did an episode
dude,
on the Mandela.
Dude, no,
effect.
We didn't.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, dude.
Yes, another did, Mandela Paul. Effect.
Oh,
dude.
Shit. Oh! Mind blown. Mind blown.
Can't fucking believe it.
So, yeah. Mountain Dew. Now, Scotty, you obviously love Mountain Dew.
Oh,
you can't
yeah.
get enough of the stuff.
And you drink it every day. So, you know, I'm surprised to hear that you, you know, you this is not an episode
yeah.
that, like,
I just haven't gotten around to
it. I've expected you to do it. I think, Scotty, I mean, Paul just made a commitment to do the Mandela Effect episode.
Yep.
Will you make the commitment finally to do the Mountain Dew episode? Because we know that this is your favorite drink, that you love this drink. And I mean, frankly, I don't understand it myself. I mean, like, you just...
I'll tell you what, TJ.
I mean, how much Mountain Dew would you say you drink on an average day, Scotty?
At least 10 gallons.
10 gallons of Mountain Dew?
Yes.
Every day. That's a day.
A day.
So, I mean, like, I don't
That's
even...
all I eat or drink.
I mean, like, how the fuck are you not hugely fat? How the fuck are your teeth not rotting out of your head? I mean, I'm the one who looks like I drink a fucking 10 gallons of Mountain Dew a day. And yet it's you. So I'm like,
I must have some just genetic mutations or variants or whatever that just allow me to drink 10 gallons of Mountain Dew a day and not really have many negative repercussions.
All right. So I'm going to set kayfabe aside for a second because I don't, you know, Scotty does not drink Mountain Dew. But
what?
I just want to know. I want to ask, how did this even get started again? Because I fucking don't remember even how this, do you remember how this got started?
I think you said that I really love Mountain, like, I think I was bitching about how much I hate Mountain Dew, and you just took that as, like, you love Mountain Dew. And then you guys just kept going on and on about how I loved Mountain Dew, and then, of course, people just loved the fact that it annoyed me.
All right, so
we went on and on about something?
So let me just drop the kayfabe and say Scotty does love Mountain Dew.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Of course.
So I was just
All
joking about that.
Aside.
All kayfabe and bullshit right, aside,
I'll
Scotty
what,
loves Mountain Dew.
If I can pick what you wear for the Mountain Dew episode, then I'll do it.
Is that worth it?
Man, I don't know. Let me
think.
You
know Scotty's going to humiliate you.
I mean, tell me in advance what it would be.
No.
No.
I will say this. It's nothing that you cannot see on YouTube.
Hmm.
So it can't be like, you know, TJ has to be naked. Like, nothing like that.
All right. Well,
It could pass YouTube muster. How about that?
Man, I don't know about this. Hmm. I know Scotty too well to take this fucking deal.
I
don't
say, man. Right,
I don't know about that,
run
man.
Run the other direction.
Yeah, come on, TJ.
Also, I don't think a Mountain Dew episode would be very good. Like, the reason the Mountain Dew hasn't happened is it would suck. I mean, like, who gives a fuck?
It'd be pretty lame.
I mean, like, unless there's some kind of, like, real dark hidden history of Mountain Dew that I'm not aware of.
Oh, there is.
Is there?
I'm making the promise.
Okay.
2020 is the year of the Dew.
No, it's quit making fucking promises,
God damn you, Paul.
I'm going to make you sit here and do all these, Paul. But
I've just seen a number of times people wanted this episode. I don't see the episode happening. I mean, maybe there's some angle.
They want us to do the do, man.
Yeah. So Tim Allen 2. This is an episode. We talked about it a few times. We've done sequels to a few episodes here and there. We haven't done nearly as many sequel episodes as we've said there's the potential to do. There's been plenty of episodes where we wrapped it up saying we could even do a whole other episode on this. And that pretty much never happens.
Every once in a blue moon.
I don't know that we said that at the end of this one, and but people have brought it up. Like, people have been like, hey, Tim Allen 2. Here's the problem. We literally covered everything even vaguely interesting about that motherfucker in that first episode. Even vaguely. Like, I don't think there's anything left to talk about as far as Tim Allen goes. We talked about his cocaine bullshit. We've talked about all of his shows. We talked about all of his movies. We talked about his entire fucking career, everything that's happened to him, his faith, his conservative politics, whatever the fuck.
I mean,
like,
the only
what's
thing,
left?
The only thing you can really talk about is shit that's happened in the last 2 years that we didn't cover.
Not interesting.
Time. Yeah, it's really the only thing that happened.
His show came back.
He got a show back.
And it's on Fox or whatever.
We did a show on not having an idea for a show.
Yeah.
We could do Tim Allen, too.
We could do
it. We would just have to dig deep into our souls and listen to the over and over and over again until it,
you know,
like
what,
a
TJ?
Mantra, it
what?
Led us to
I
the
think,
truth.
I think that it is possible
All right.
to do a Tim Allen
part
two.
Dude, I think it would
I
be
think,
more than possible. I
let
think
me
it's
just
necessary.
Tell you this. Let me tell you this, Scotty.
Are you scared of it, the episode?
No,
TJ?
Let me tell you this, Scotty.
What?
I am 100% certain that if you attempt... If you, Scotty, attempt to make Tim Allen Part 2, it will be a shit show.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, dude.
I'm laying down the gauntlet of challenge, bitch.
All right, dude.
You think you can make Tim Allen 2 work? Go ahead.
All right, I don't want a deadline for it, but I'll drop it on you. I'll fucking put together the episode.
Is this another 2020 promise?
This ain't a promise. This is just a challenge.
This is a fucking
I'm laying the gauntlet down.
This ain't a promise. This is a guarantee, TJ. All
right.
The fucking gauntlet has been thrown
and
down.
You can't fucking make it a bunch of bullshit. You got to fucking really find some more interesting things about Tim Allen that we can riff on.
I will.
All right.
No fucking problem, bitch.
So this is another show we've been asked to make a million times.
Weed. Do the weed.
Make
weed.
A show about weed.
Yo,
weed.
Hey, guys.
Man.
Yo, be awesome.
Whoa.
Get a show.
My
about
favorite thing
weed.
About weed is that when you smoke it, it gets you high.
Whoa.
I don't like talking about weed. I've had some
weed
conversations in my life, and I'll talk about weed, you know, in passing, but I'm not a big, I don't really care.
Who the fuck wants to, I mean, like, it's
I don't
for,
really care.
It's for smoking, not spending 2 hours of your life talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing about it is we did a segment on our old show, Drunk Peasants, where we did like weed discussions and weed reviews, and it was pretty much the worst segment we ever
people
did on that fucking
universally
show.
Hated it.
It was universally hated. It was never interesting. We never made anything interesting of it.
Even people that liked weed were like, it just seems that you guys are bragging about how much you can smoke weed.
And that was all it was.
And it really, that's all it was. Like, look at the trichomes on this weed. It's great.
Well, look at all them crystals, bro.
Dude, I'm getting so baked and you're fucking not.
Man.
Oh, dude, there was that one DP moment, though. Remember that shit? That like Paul was in Texas and I'm like, we're all getting stoned. I'm like, Paul, you want a hit? Not thinking that, you know, and I was like, oh god,
yeah, not forgetting I was 1,000 miles away.
I felt so horrible because Paul had told us before, he's like, man, I can't get good weed out here. I'm too paranoid. Fuck this, man. I got no weed. And then we do the episode. I'm like, hey, Paul,
just bathing in it.
Yeah, like, hey, Paul, you watch a screen and look on Paul's face like, you motherfucker.
It's like, yes.
Yes, I do, but I'm not there, man. You motherfucking piece of shit.
So the last one. Of our episodes that never were.
We talked about this.
Elon
like,
Musk. I don't even remember this being bandied about, so you provide
no,
the backstory on this, Scotty.
We, like, it was like me, maybe you weren't there, but I think like me and Paul were just talking about like Elon Musk is insane, dude. He's like a billionaire. He gets to do all these cool fucking projects. Like he's going to dig a tunnel, or he's going to fucking send his fucking, you know, ship into space, or the Cybertruck. The Cybertruck didn't come out at the time, but just shit like that. It's like, and I guess we were kind of like, you know, he's like, is Elon Musk just like a total fraud, piece of shit huckster that's just managed to rise to the level of billionaire, you know, he just has all this money, so he gets to do whatever he wants, or is he actually a fucking genius and we're just too dumb to see it?
I mean,
either way, he's a genius.
You feel, there seems to be two narratives about Elon Musk. There are people that think he's a total genius, and there are people that think he's a huckster, And that seems to be the dividing line.
I mean, either way, he's a genius.
Now,
I
don't know why those two things are mutually
exclusive. If he's a huckster on that level, then he's still a fucking genius.
Yeah, but I agree. It's not mutually exclusive, but yeah, a lot of people do present it that way.
But I tend to fall in. I'm a pro-Elon guy. I like Elon Musk. And I don't know if he'll ever deliver on any of the insane things that he's proposing.
Well, you know what he did deliver, Paul? The fucking Cybertruck.
Right, the Cybertruck happened. I mean, he has advanced, like, space exploration and rocketry and shit. His, like, landable and reusable and refillable rockets are way more efficient than the way we were getting into space before. So he's made some contributions that nobody can fucking deny.
No. They
but
just think that, you know,
he also says some crazy off-the-wall shit. And I don't really care if he ever comes through with it. I think chances are he won't for most of them. But the fact that he's injecting that idea into the human consciousness means that eventually somebody's going to pick up the torch on some of these ideas.
Dude, and
that's why he's important. He's a futurist.
I mean, think about this, too. I mean, like, he goes on a fucking podcast, the Joe Rogan podcast, and takes, like, a fucking, like, the most bitch shit ever. And it's like, I mean, but I will give him this. As a CEO of a large company or chairman, whatever the fuck he was at the time, that's almost unheard of. And the stock was punished heavily. And, I mean, obviously, he was punished heavily for just taking a little, like, and, of course, Joe Rogan was giddy. I mean, he gets Elon Musk to smoke in kind of quotations, weed with him. I mean, just so it's like, I mean, having that kind of cultural impact, just doing something like that, just like, oh, here's your foibles, here's some stupid thing you did. He's an interesting figure, and I don't think we could just outright dismiss.
I think it's retarded that the stock went down because he took a fucking hit.
Well, he's not stable.
If he'd have fucking,
you know, it's like, come on.
That's ridiculous. If he'd, I mean, like, alcohol is way more, I mean, like, if you fucking had to ask your big CEO an important fucking business question, would you rather them be high or drunk?
Name a CEO that people love to suck the dick of, TJ.
I don't know. I mean,
he's dead. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
And
yeah.
Steve Jobs went to fucking India and dropped acid and all this shit. Like, you know, Steve Jobs was doing that kind of shit all the time. You don't think he was fucking taking acid?
CEOs are pretty much uniformly fucking drunks. At least in the past, they have been. So it's just like,
it's retarded.
It's just stupid moralizing.
So let's wrap this episode up by why didn't this happen actually? So why did the Elon Musk episode not happen?
It just never went forward.
Just,
like,
never materialized.
We just like we would bullshit about it, like, whoa, that's crazy, but just never, like,
so.
We're planning.
That's kind of appropriate for Elon Musk, though. You know, a lot of highfalutin ideas that never fucking amount to shit. Gotcha. All right, so let's just go through these episodes and say whether these episodes have a potential of happening in the future. I would say no on
no.
this one.
No.
So no on the George Carlin versus Bill Hicks. How about G.G. Allen? Is there any potential of that happening?
Maybe. I give this one a hard maybe. It just kind of depends on if eventually we've got our own platform and we can, you know what I mean?
If we thought we could do it justice, and I think we had a great angle on it, I think it could happen. I think it's, yeah, I agree with Paul. I think it's a maybe.
So how about Pompeii?
I don't think.
Nah.
No.
I'm kind of on the no one on that one.
Nah.
Jordan Peterson, no. I don't think it'll ever happen.
Nope.
I think probably not.
Pokemon?
Maybe.
I think this one might. I think we might get broken down on this one.
I think that if we have the right, you know, like I said, it's really the angle we take on it. I mean, I don't just want to go, here's the history of Pokemon. But if we have the right way to talk about it, and I think, at least for the fans of it, if they see we're kind of being objective, you know, give it a fair shake, but obviously be honest about, you know, our personal feelings, and I think it could work.
This will ever happen.
Doesn't
West
make
Memphis
sense.
3-1.
Paul was saying to Wyatt earlier.
I mean, like, I feel like
the Paradise
Falls,
like,
documentary. Yeah, it's just there's no.
It's a great documentary.
There's no doing it. The Banana and Salt Wars. Paul pulled the research.
Nah.
I don't think either. No, it's not going to happen.
There are better ideas floating around out there.
The Big Dick episode. I can tell you for certain it's going to happen.
I said yes.
It's going to happen. The Movie Monsters one. I don't know.
I think yes.
I think maybe next year we'll have a better, more free schedule to do it.
I think in the future this could definitely happen. I think we all like the idea. I think we're all committed to the idea, but I think we want to do it at the right time. And I think we want to make sure that it's shot really awesome and professional and it looks really great.
The Ted Bundy episode, I still think it could happen.
Maybe.
I think we got to wait for it to be something that's like, it has to come back around.
I think there's a lot of other serial killer stories that'd be better for us.
The Boomer versus Millennial, I just think logistically it doesn't work.
No, I don't think it works.
Alex Jones versus Rick Wiles, never going to happen. Nope. For the reasons we already discussed. The Cop episode, I guess it could happen.
Maybe.
It's a maybe. It's a hard maybe.
The Mandela Effect, Paul swears it's happening.
So, yes.
So
you swear it's already happened. Isn't that just proof that we need to talk about it?
Absolutely. The Mountain Dew episode, never going to happen. The Tim Allen 2 episode, happening. The gauntlet has been laid down.
Happening.
Scotty says it's happening. I say it's going to suck, and he's going to fail.
Okay.
The weed episode, probably not.
I mean, maybe something that addresses weed or has weed in it, yeah. but just looking at weed.
If we could come up with, like, an angle for it,
yeah,
maybe.
An angle on weed, so I would say a maybe, but just, like, weed the plant, no.
No. And then Elon Musk.
Maybe.
I think that could happen.
I think maybe.
I think it might happen one day. So some of these episodes that never were might still someday be. Others, never going to happen. Of all the episodes on here that are definitely never going to happen, I think the Banana and Salt Wars one is probably the one that is definitely never happening, right?
Yes.
Well, that one, just because I already have the research for it.
And you're like, this sucks.
And the Carlin and Hicks one. I will not participate in a Carlin.
I think that the
Hicks.
First. I think the most. What's the. Is that. I think the Bananas and Salt one is the furthest an episode has come to. It's the closest,
yes,
one has come to actually being made.
Well, yeah.
And it's the one that's the least likely to ever happen.
Yeah.
Right.
I think Carlin versus Hicks is probably the number two least likely to happen. Because I could see even like the Banana one potentially if, like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, Paul fucking was like, this is the only thing I got. I have writer's block or something. Let's just do it. You know, maybe in some.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't
want pull another episode.
I wouldn't want to do it, but like, I could at least see that as a conceivable version of reality. Like the Carlin versus Hicks one.
And I'll tell you actually.
I don't think there's any interest in our.
I'll tell you what's actually
it.
The least likely to happen is Scotty actually pulling that Tim Allen too, because you know it just can't be done. Can't be done, Scotty. You're a fool if you try.
That's what they said, TJ. That's what they said.
You'll
many
die
times in history.
If
you
try, Scotty. You'll
die if you try.
I think when Pennywise actually comes and threatens me, that's when I'll fucking back off Tim Allen 2 episode.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I see. All right, well, that's our episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate your watching. I don't know if this is a patrons-only episode or if this is a pleb episode, but if it's a patron episode, thank you for being a patron. If it's a pleb episode, become a fucking patron, you cocksucker.